Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, your word does not return void. It accomplishes that which you please and purpose, prospering to the thing, Lord, that you sent it. Praise the Lord. It seems to me that we've entered into a season of prophetic seed planting or seed sowing. And that indicates to me that the Lord is wanting to do something. I mean, when seeds are planted, a harvest will follow. That's the whole plan. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the whole of life is seed time and harvest. It's not just for the farmer. Listen to me. What you're sowing in your life now is what you're going to reap one day. And some of you already have reaped something in your life, and you're wondering, how come things are so like this? It's because you've been sowing those things. So if you want to end up in 10 years or 5 years from now with good things, I tell you what, sow good things. That's how that works. Now, before the Lord does anything in our lives, he always speaks to us. It's the nature of God. When Adam and Eve committed high treason, when they gave up this world, and let me say it this way, the psalmist said, and Jesus quoted it, ye are gods. He didn't mean that's capital G. He just meant kind of like a little viceroy. Adam and Eve were to rule this world directly underneath the lordship of Christ. And they gave that away to Lucifer, to Satan, the fallen one. It's like what they did is they had a house, God gave them a house, and rather than keeping that house up, what they did was is they sublet the house out to a drug dealer, murderer, rapist, hateful, evil person. Duh. But that's what they did. They said, welcome, come on in here, and we'll live here under your authority. Now, that's stupid. But that's what they did. Don't blame God for the condition of the earth. God didn't do it. It was Adam and Eve giving it up to the one who was God's enemy. Once we get that, things come into perspective. So, the way God, you know, he's, you know, because the lease is still here, now it's almost up, guys. It's a 6,000-year lease. And when the lease is up, Jesus is going to take that guy and throw him right in the pit, right in the lake of fire. Whoop. That's it. Remodel the house. Told you the stories of my in-laws and when they would rent out houses to people and how people are just... I hope if you're leasing or you're renting, I hope you're doing a good job of keeping that house in good shape. If you own a house, you ought to keep that place in good shape. You understand what I'm saying? You need to do that. But people, what is wrong with people? People. Okay, no. And so, in order to get back into this thing, God began to prophesy into the earth. The very first thing he did is he told the devil, the serpent, he said, I tell you what, your days are numbered. I'm sending the seed of the woman. He's going to crush your head. And then he began to prophesy. That's why he called prophets. Prophets aren't people just out there running around with funny clothes, doing super silly things. God is using them because God created the world how? By his word. We're created in God's image, therefore you're creating your world by what you're saying, what you're talking about. And so God began to prophesy into the world, and he used men and women. And they began to prophesy the coming Messiah. They began to prophesy the coming Messiah. And so God, as he was establishing his word in the earth, eventually that word was manifest. The word became flesh. This will help you. And so what God is doing is I'm going to get back what belongs to me. And he began to do it by prophesying into the earth. Now, this is what he's doing in your life. He'll prophesy into your life. That's why you need to, listen, I tell you, awesome prophecy, Patty. Man, you guys, get ready for blessing. So that's what God does. He begins to prophesy something into your life. You say, well, no one's ever prophesied to me. You got a whole book full of them. If you've been here the last month, I've been prophesying into your life. Now, that's an awesome thing. So God begins to prophesy. He begins to prophesy so that it can become flesh, so it can be manifest. We've been talking about kingdom prayers. Kingdom prayers are all about putting the kingdom business ahead of my own business. And as I put kingdom business ahead of my business, God will then be about my business. This is not hard. It's really not hard. Can you imagine what would happen if we could get the entire church in America to just get focused on kingdom business? We'd change this thing around now. Within a year, this country would be radically changed. So we've been prophesying these things. Kingdom business, kingdom prayers, daily bread prayers. If you can link kingdom prayers to your own personal needs and put kingdom prayers ahead of your own personal needs, God will begin to answer your prayer needs personally. See what I'm saying? Isaac said it. We've been serving the Lord. We've been doing all this extra stuff. And how did God meet these two boys' needs? Actually, not even a need, just a want. Bronco game. Boxed seats. You know what that means for Isaac? All the food you can eat. How many? 4 pounds of hot dogs? Ay, 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 ay. You need to be blessed. Oh, praise the Lord. So, now God has been prophesying some things to us, and he's been saying this. In Haggai, there were three words out of Haggai, and it was this. He's going to stir us up. He's going to speak into our hearts. He's going to stir us up to build his kingdom. That's what this was last night. That's what Friday night was. Now, then he said this in Haggai. I'm going to shake the nations, and the gold and silver is mine, and I'm going to pour it in, and the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former. And I shared with you the word out of Job that said this, though your beginnings were small, yet your end would increase greatly. I'm prophesying something to happen. Those aren't just words. I'm prophesying something over this ministry and fellowship and over my personal life, and I hope over your personal life if you'll receive it. That's two. Third one was this. From this day forward, I'll bless you. Oh, golly, guys. I am preaching better than you saying amen. God said, from this day forward, I'll bless you. I receive that. I'm increasing because he said he'd bless me. And I tell you, it's happening. Now, we prophesied about eagles. We prophesied about vultures. We prophesied about pelicans. What was the eagle? It's the prophetic ministry, but it's also your ministry. God wants you to mount up with wings as eagles. What was the vulture? Those things looking for you living your life in the flesh. Wednesday night, we talked about Michael catching raccoons. What is that a picture of? We got demonic stuff flying. We got little imps attacking. And he's up to 6 now. I tell you what, here's the thing. If you're a gardener, I'm sorry to tell you this, my brother. That's called maintenance. You'll never get rid of all the raccoons. And guys, you'll never get rid of all the little stuff floating around trying to get you to sin. You know what you got to do? You got to deal with it. That the prophetic thing, the Lord's trying to say something to us. We can deal with princes and powers as the Lord gives a revelation, those things that would try and dominate and control over families, break curses over families, but you still got to do maintenance. And then the pelicans. It's a picture of what? The redemption of Christ. Wow, awesome. Now, this weekend, on Wednesday night, you're missing so many good things about coming to Wednesday night. So Wednesday night, the two prophetesses were prophesying to us, and Don said, Friday night is so important. As we have a boat in the middle of Main Street. It's an ark, a picture of an ark, and people, we'll have a contact with people representing our ministry and our church. As people come, they'll be safe. It's a prophetic sign for anyone who can see it. Just like those animals were magnetized to the ark. Whoa. I don't know how God did that. He's God. Do you really believe in a worldwide flood? Duh. What's the song? Yeah, billions of dead things buried in rock layers. Something, something all over the world. There's the proof of a worldwide flood. Duh. You need to get Ben Stein's movie. Expelled. Every kid in here ought to watch it. Moms and dads, if you don't have a copy, I've got a copy, or do you have my copy still? Okay, Chuck will get my copy back this week because he's had it now for a month. And you've got it now. Okay, you've got it. So Dwayne will get it back because they've had it for a month. And if parents, oh, you have your own. Okay, well, I won't give yours. I won't lend yours out. Okay. If I get my copy back, then any parent who needs it, I'll let you. Your kids need to hear this. Okay. I mean, and Ben Stein, what can you say? He's funny, too. Okay, so, and then this prophetic word about Saturday night, my, I'm looking at some of these prophecies that have been spoken over us by men of God. And I look at that and I think, this has been a long thing. This has been a fight. This has been a battle. And now we come to this other prophetic event called Escape from the Desert. Patty said, do you see the import of that over this ministry? I don't know. For those of you who were here last night, I tell you, there was a new spirit in this thing last night. I kept seeing it's just a seed. So get ready. I tell you what, that was just awesome. This weekend, I know you guys, you're working hard, and God bless you. You know what it is? For those of you just about ready to have a baby, twins, ay-yi-yi, I hope, is that a prophecy? You know what? At the very beginning, there's a lot of work. It gets better. So, Chris, when she's going, I can't take any more of this, you tell her, it'll get better. I'm serious. She's going, you go up and feed it tonight. Then you tell him, it'll get better. But it does get better. There's times in a church you have to work hard. Then there are seasons it's not. Thank you for those of you working. Jesus said sometimes you got to go the extra mile. I don't want to go the extra mile. Listen, suck it up. Let's go the extra mile. That's what you got to do. And you know what? The fact is this. Now, I'm not preaching to anybody, but I am. If you weren't here Friday night, you weren't here Saturday night, I know what you're doing. Watching television. Okay, enough said. When it gets on me, I can't help it. All right. That's why it's so quiet in here. Now. For the Lord is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
You know what this is in the scripture? It's Psalm 107, and it's antiphonal praise. Antiphonal praise. Now, that's a big word. It's a 25-cent word, but we're going to give you a little demonstration of it. Are you guys all ready over here? I'll excuse the back row. Okay? We're not going to do a wave, but I guess we could. Do you remember back in the day, Karen? the reason this comes up is I was going through some stuff and I found the Times Calls insert for our class. And Karen and I had a few moments of reminiscence right there. And her face is right there and my face is right there. It's really interesting. Out of 400 students, you and I were. There we were, doing our thing. She was a brainy gal, and I was playing the band. That's what we were doing, you know. And so she was front and center, and I was backstage, but it was nevertheless. Back in the day of high school, you'd do something like this. Okay, you're going to be the cheerleader. You'd say to your team, you go. Or actually, it would be this way. We're looking at them. We've got spirit. Yes, we do. We've got spirit. How about you? Yeah, you're on our side, Danny. Whose side are you on? So okay, thank you. So there's this antiphonal thing where we make a declaration and then you make a declaration and then you make a declaration and then we make a declaration. For the Lord is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
See, there it is. And there's this antiphonal thing. Now, there's nothing like antiphonal brass, in my opinion. Now, Jeanette's saying, well, antiphonal woodwinds are pretty good, too. Well, that's just, yeah, well, you know, but no, seriously, I'm playing. Because brass are pretty brass. I know, okay. Oh. Yeah, she's right. Praise the Lord. But you know what, guys? God wants to say something. He wants to do something. And he is good. And his mercy does endure forever. Now, Galatians chapter 5 teaches us that goodness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Okay? And Webster says this about goodness. It's something that conforms to the moral order of the universe. Praiseworthy character, advancement of prosperity and well-being. And you know, in English, the word good or God and goodness all are tied together and linked together. Because God is good. Matter of fact, I think I wrote about it in my book. He is the good. God is the good. And it's an amazing thing. And so we can really say from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, that verse that to me is lightning. I hope you'll let it get in your spirit. Jesus has become the high priest of good things to come. You've got a good future if Christ is your high priest. If he's not your high priest, there may be trouble. But if he's your high priest, I don't care who you are, I don't care what kind of trouble you're in today, there's a good future waiting you.
That's
right. And so, it's so important to understand that. Now, quickly, I don't know who will be flipping faster, the Bibles that are the old ones or the electronic ones, but let's go to Jeremiah. I'm going to start there very quickly. I'm going to go through a number of verses, and I'm racing the clock because today could be a day I could buy everybody pizza, but it's not happening this morning. It would have to be for the young adults this evening, and you know, and some of you who think you're young adults. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 31, 14. Listen to this. The Lord is prophesying. Again, guys, remember, he prophesies into our lives so that it will come about. You know, that is so good. And I did this when my parents were alive. I did it with all of them. All four. Well, I've done it with all four. We've got one alive still, but I've done it with all four of them. And with my folks, I couldn't do it as a couple. Patty and Kathy's folks, we said, you know, Mom and Dad, would you bless us? I want your blessing. I want to hear your blessing on my life. Because see, that parental blessing, that parental thing is saying, just like Abraham did Isaac and Isaac did Jacob. Jacob did his sons. And so on Sabbath, every Jewish family blesses their children. Why do you think the Jews are so blessed in the world? They're not loading their babies up with bombs like the Arabs are doing. They're blessing their kids, and no wonder their kids rise to the height of the entertainment world and the science world and the education world and the financial world, because every Friday night they heard their mom and dad put a blessing on them. You're blessed. There's great things in store for you. Your future's bright. Why do you think this pastor's trying to get that into your heart? Surely God will do you good. Well, you don't know the problems and the pain in my life. I know. I got my own story. We've all got pains, guys. We've all got hurts. We've all got troubles. But I got a high priest. If you'll just stay the course, your high priest will do his work. So listen to this. He's prophesying now, and he says this, "And I will fill to the full the souls of the priests with the fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord." He's prophesying into my life. I'll be satisfied with his goodness. Oh, what is goodness? Oh, it's that moral order of the universe. That's that praiseworthy character. It's that advancement of prosperity and well-being. I don't want to serve God. You're a fool. You're a fool. Well, I don't want to do things his way. You're a fool. Please. He wants to put so much in you. He wants to do so much good for you. The only kavod is this: you have to do it his way. He won't bless rebellion. Turn over to 32. This is amazing. Oh, you just ought to say amazing. What did I say, 32? 41. Oh my, the Lord is speaking. He says, I will rejoice, yes, I will rejoice over them in doing them good. And I will plant them in the land, assuredly, with my whole heart and my whole soul. Listen, Israel's not going anywhere. Don't fool yourself. Israel's not going anywhere. And there's a place for the Palestinians. Don't forget that either. But not at the expense of Israel. And thus says the Lord, as I have brought all this great evil upon them. What's that mean? They rebelled, God judged them. So that's what he's talking about. As I've brought them and cast them and sent them out to the nations, listen, God says, and so I will bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. Listen, guys, this is the way life is. When I'm a child, there were things my parents had to do to discipline me. I've told you the story. You probably, I could hear my dad's belt coming off his pants. I knew I was going to get it. But you know what? Thank God he disciplined me. And you know, guys, God will discipline us as well. Because he wants us to be godly. He wants us to be righteous. He wants us to be able to be in a position to get his blessing. And if we won't follow his blessing, he will bring, if you belong to him, he's going to discipline you. You're not going to get out of it. And that's proof that he loves you. Oh, Jesus. See, I have to finish this today because we're starting a new series on next Sunday. Chapter 33, verse 9 says this, and it shall be to me a praise and joy, a praise and honor before all the nations of the earth, who shall hear of all the good that the Lord shall do. Wow. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure to it. You know, friends, in Zechariah chapter 8, in the message, it says this in verse 13, I'm going to make you both a symbol and a source of blessing. See, God really wants to do a good thing in you so that your neighbors go, why are you so blessed? Why is it that your business is prospering? Nobody's business is prospering now. Because I have a God who's above the finances of this world. That's why one of the reasons you need a tithe. It takes you out of the pressure of this world. Ties you into God's economy. John 10:10, somebody can quote it for me. The thief. But I have come. Does that sound like goodness? Yeah. Not the first part. Jesus came to give us life until it overflows. How about 3 John 2? Somebody quote that for me. Beloved, I wish above all things. How about Acts 10:38? Can someone quote that, even come close to it? See, I can't tell anymore if you're flipping through your pages because you're all doing it on computers. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power and went about doing what?
Good.
But you never know. God sometimes gives people cancer. Sometimes God gives me a heart attack. Jesus is the picture of the Father. He said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Didn't he say that? So here it is. He went about doing good, and what was the good? If you're oppressed of the devil, Jesus wants to heal you. If you're sick, he wants to heal you. Well, he will teach you because he's God, for goodness sakes. He can use a tornado that destroys a town to teach people. He didn't send a tornado. If I remember right, Jesus rebuked them. You know what? Okay. My time. Can you see Jesus and the boys? And Jesus, of course, wasn't rowing, but, you know. And this is what people teach. God sends destruction. God sends sickness. And so this is, now, this will shock some of you. Jesus, when they woke him up, he went, Father, I rebuke you. Isn't that exactly what they teach? God sends destruction. So Jesus stood up and rebuked it. No. That thing was of the devil trying to kill the disciples and the Son of God. Well, now, but you're not the Son of God. Who's living inside of you if you're a Christian? This is not rocket science. And it's not brain surgery, yeah. Yeah, oh man. There's just some things never die. That's a good one. Praise the Lord. Scripture says this, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my Lord said, I'll set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I'll walk with you in the middle of that trouble, in the middle of that valley that you're in the middle of. Taste and see. The Lord is... oh, let's quickly... I've got so much we could go on. Just continue. The Bible says, taste and see the Lord is good. And he just wants us to experience it. He said, I will teach you in the way that's good. Friends, Philippians quickly, I think start in verse 1. And many of you could quote that verse for me if you would. But he said this in verse 6 of chapter 1. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, we'll finish it in the day of Christ. Isn't that amazing? He's going to finish what he started in you, and it's going to be a good work. Now, quickly, turn over to Colossians, the very next book, chapter 1, verse 10, and he says this, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Turn to someone and say, walk worthy. Unto all pleasing, being fruitful to what? Every good work. My. Now, quickly, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm going to look real quick at verse 15. He says this. That none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow after which is good. Both among yourselves and to all men. So God wants us to walk in goodness. And you know what, friends? If you've not received goodness from God, it's hard to give goodness. Because typically what you give out is what you've been dished. So that's why Jesus said, turn the other cheek, because if you don't, what's going to happen is you're going to get caught up in that vindictive spirit. You're going to get caught up in that other spirit that's operating. And so that's why Jesus just said, wait a minute. You just turn the other cheek. Don't get caught up in that other spirit. That's what you got to do. Watch it. Watch it. We got to watch it because we're going to have a revival in Jesus' name. And then in verse 21, he says this, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. You know, why is it, guys? Philippians 4 tells us to look on these things and think on these things. And you know, why is it when you're looking at news reports on the internet, because the internet has so much more freedom than the newspaper, that they will want to post ugly things? And there's times I go, yep, not even going to look at that one. Nope, not even going to read that one. Not even going to go there because I know it's going to be ugly. I know it's not going to be good. I know it's not going to satisfy my soul. I know it's not going to encourage me. It's going to put an image in my mind. It's going to put an image in my heart that is not good. Now, what I'm doing is I'm preaching and I'm meddling in your business. Please, guys. I'm trying to protect your heart. Guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues. There are things, guys, I've seen I wish I'd never seen. I wish I could tell you your pastor's as pure of the driven snow. Sometimes I feel like the driven snow that's had the dirt running over. You know what I'm saying? Blah. I'm preaching at you. Come on, guys. God's got something for us. He's got something for us. Now, here's another place about goodness. And I've got the verses. I just not going to take the time. Romans 7 is full of them. Romans 7:12, Romans 7:18, 1 Timothy 1:8 says this, that the law is good. The law is good. So I thought we were free from the law. Well, I tell you, the law is good. The Ten Commandments are good. Four of them toward God, six of them toward us. Okay? And they're good. And they're there for a reason. And it's good because it does this. The law shows me where I've sinned. The law shows me where I've failed God. The law shows me where I've sinned against God by sinning against you. That's why the law is good. But that's not the end of the goodness. It's good because the Bible says in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, that the goodness of God leads men to repentance. So you see, the law is good because it shows me where I've sinned against God, and then His goodness in the law draws me to Himself because I see, man, I've blown it. I need a Savior. That's why it's good. Now, the Bible says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will dine with him and he with me. You see, friends, Jesus wants to be the high priest of your life. He wants to be the high priest of good things to come in your life. But you've got to say yes to him. I tell you, and that means at some point saying yes to him means saying no to yourself. It means saying no to the desires that you've got in your heart and the things that you're doing even now, saying no, you know what, I want Jesus in here. He's not going to come and he's not going to sit down with me if I'm in sin. He's not going to come into my life and sit down and fellowship with me as long as I continue in my rebellion or continue in my sin or continue in my attitude or continue whatever I am. He loves me. Don't get me wrong. He loves you, but he's not going to fellowship with you. And we're in danger in America because we've been hearing a gospel so long that says God loves me no matter what I do. He does. But he won't sit down and fellowship with it. So now the bottom line is this. Because he's the priest, a high priest of good things to come, do I have a part to play? Well, I'm glad you asked. See, it's not all automatic. Because you see, back in Hebrews again, Jesus Christ has become the high priest of good things to come. But a little earlier in the book, he said this. He said he is the apostle and high priest of our confession. And so I love what Derek Prince used to say. He used to say, no confession, no high priest. Unfortunately, well, I guess it's unfortunate, but it's also fortunate. Unfortunately, most Christians don't speak godly things. Now, the good thing about that is this. If you're not speaking good things, Jesus isn't listening to you. I tell you, how bad would it be? How bad?
Nothing ever good happens to me. Nothing ever good happens.
Now Dwayne's not saying that. But if he's doing that, he's, oh. Because Jesus is the high priest of what we say.
That's right.
He's the high priest of our confession. So he's, sorry, front row.
That's right.
It's the problem. So Jesus, he never do anything good for me. So Jesus just doesn't listen to that. And I'll tell you why. Because if he did, he'd do this. Because this is what a high priest does. Father, nothing ever good happens to Dwayne. Nothing ever good happens to Dwayne. Nothing ever good happens to Dwayne. He's the high priest of my confession. It's just like the angels. Bless the Lord. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, hearkening to the voice of what? The word. My angels are standing there waiting for me to speak the word. And if I'm, oh, nothing ever good happens to me, nothing ever good happens to me, they're going, oh man, here you go. Jesus is the high priest of my confession. One angel, Malachi chapter 4, or chapter 3, excuse me, he hears me speaking the word of God, and the Bible says he writes it down. Malachi chapter 3, did you hear? Yeah, here we go. Get that sword brushed off there. Get ready to go, buddy. Michael, Gabriel, whoever it is, I don't know who they are. But and listen. And they're recording what I'm saying. He himself bore my sickness, carried my pain. He was wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquity, the chastisement of my peace. Jesus is, oh, the high priest of good things to come. Did you know that he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil? For God is with him. And the Bible says this, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in this mortal body, he will quicken this mortal body. Those angels are going, poof. And then we start saying, the blessing of the Lord makes me rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. And I start saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I tell you what, I've told my boys, if I die today, my prayers have gone ahead of you, and they'll chase you down until you serve Jesus completely and wholly in Jesus' name. That's how I talk to my kids, just like I talk to you. I'm preaching, so, But see, that's how the angels respond. They respond, yes, they respond to heaven's word, but they respond to God's word in my mouth. And if I don't speak God's word, they just kind of have to back off. But there's some other things called raccoons and vultures listening to the word that comes out of your mouth. All I get is the trouble. Well, hello, raccoons. Hello, vultures. Now, where am I at? Man, I feel like my wife and her music this week. Sorry, Pat. The Bible also says this, Jesus is the high priest, chapter 4 of Hebrews. He knows every trouble. He knows every pain. He knows every sorrow that you face. He's been touched. As my high priestess, it's no good to have a high priest who's not been touched with my problems because he can't empathize. He can't stand before the Father and plead my case. But the Bible says he's done it without sin. He was tempted as a young man. Some of you, well, of course he was. He was a hot item. Well, I don't want to make too much of it, but come on, guys. Let's get real. I tell you what, the anointing attracts the opposite sex. You got to watch out because the anointing does that. I mean, he was the anointing himself. The girls, I'm sure, they were probably whistling at him. Come on, all right. But he knew, but he did not sin because he had a purpose. He understood what he was called to do. Some of you need to get a vision. That's why you're in trouble. That's why your lives are in sin because you don't have a vision. Get a vision, it'll keep you busy. keep you out of trouble. Okay, let's just finish this out. But it says this in Hebrews chapter 4, he's the high priest of our profession. Let's conclude with this. I understand the word profession also means confession. But in Hebrews chapter 4, in King James, it says profession. What is my profession? My profession, number one, is to obey what I know I'm supposed to be doing.
That's right. Amen.
Whether you're a professional, like a Bob is a professional, he's an engineer. Or whether you're a school teacher, it's a professional.
Right.
Whether you're a business owner, you're a professional. Whether you're a pastor, you're a professional. What is your profession? It's to do what you know to do.
Right.
Kids, you got a profession too. God's putting that in your heart right now. What he's calling you to do, and what he expects of you, how he expects you to live, what he expects you to do for a vocation in your life. He's putting that in you right now. Some of you folks are so old and you've not lived your life this way. No wonder your life's screwed up. You've never fulfilled your profession. You've never stood in your vocation. You've never done what God has called you to do. Thank God you're still alive. Go do it. Well, how do I find out? Well, let's go pray. Duh. Come to that. Well, where else are you going to get your orders? Put your nose in the book and pray. He'll tell you. Especially if your time is shortening down. Man, I don't have all sorts of time like I used to. Come to tell it, some of you don't either. Your soul might be required of you tonight. You better get on the ticket today. And finally, what am I supposed to do? I need to find out what that vision is inside my heart. And I begin to do what's in my heart. I do what I know to do, and I do what that vision is in my heart. If your vision's to be a pilot, your vision's to be in the military, your vision's to be in the medical field, whatever, your vision's to be a missionary, I tell you what, you got to start putting that vision in front of you, and you got to start putting your whole life, your whole effort, everything that you do toward that vision. Tell you what, then you'll have a high priest of your profession. Don't you think he knows how to be a missionary? Don't you think he knows how to be an engineer? Don't you think he knows how to be a doctor? Don't you think he knows how to be a husband or a wife? He does. He knows how to do all that. He knows how to serve. He knows how to care. I tell you what, Jesus is the high priest of good things to come. He's the high priest of our confession, those things that we're saying, those things we're speaking, and he's the high priest of our profession. And I'm just asking right now, Lord Jesus, as the high priest, we need you to offer sacrifice, that blood that's speaking right now. We're thankful that it's still speaking. That sacrifice is still speaking. And it's speaking that we're redeemed, that we're forgiven. So, Lord, we can begin a brand new right today. If we need, Lord, you to be the high priest of our profession, I thank you, Lord, that you'll do that. You be the high priest of these young people in school, for that's their calling right now, is to get done with school. Father, your son will be the high priest of when we go to work tomorrow morning over our profession and the things that you've called us to do to earn a living. And I thank you for making a way for every family, jobs for everyone. And Father, I thank you as well that you're the high priest of good things to come. Father, I thank you your son has a plan that's good. And Lord, we rejoice in that. And we thank you that he's even now praying that our future be bright, that our future be good. And so, Father, right now, we thank you for your goodness to us. Father, thank you for pouring out that goodness on this fellowship, on each person, on each life, on each marriage, each family, each ministry. Thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I thank you this week for speaking your story to every heart and telling us our own stories, helping us finish the story in a way that pleases you. And Lord, we give you praise. We give you worship, Father. You know, before we go, if there's anyone here who needs to receive Christ, I implore you to do it. Let him be the high priest of good things to come. Won't you please make that confession? Let him be the high priest of your confession. Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe he died for me. I believe he rose again from the dead for me. And now I say, Jesus Christ, be my Lord and my Savior. You see, if you'll say that and you'll declare that and you believe that in your heart, the Bible says you'll be saved. Your sin will be forgiven. Jesus said, I'll go prepare a place for you. Oh, I tell you what, it's going to be a good place. You don't want to miss heaven. But I tell you what, it's not just heaven. It's his blessing and his abundance and his goodness here in the now. And I tell you what, friends, in this world, I need a high priest who will walk me through this life. I can't do it on my own. So if you make Jesus the Lord of your life, please come and tell me after church. Praise the Lord. Congregation, would you please rise? Hallelujah. Well, did you get something from the Word today?